This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thank you very much for joining me on this Monday. Time for an episode of The Week in Iceland, a week dominated, I think, by the race to become Iceland's new president. Joining me here at RÚV is my colleague, Erla Maria Davidsdottir. Erla, hello.
Hi.
Good to talk to you once again.
Same.
And it is really the case, isn't it, that the news agenda is being dominated by this race, not least because there are 12 candidates.
Yeah, it's like the first time in history that we have so many candidates like trying to be president.
Yeah.
And so it's really exciting.
It's 12, not 11, because if you were listening last week, we said it was 11. The reason that it's 12 is we have a candidate who had been told he didn't have enough signatures. Mm-hmm. Turns out he did.
Yeah, he got a deadline. And he managed just barely to hand in the,
Yes, and that, of course, is the 12th candidate, and he is Viktor Traustason.
Mm-hmm.
The other 11 were pretty much in place. The first debate between all 12 took place on Friday.
Yes.
2 hours of conversation on
RÚV
on Friday night.
Yeah, it was really interesting to see them all lined up and just talk about their agenda, what they're going to do when they get, if they get the presidency, and why people should vote for them. So
the polls, and as we sit here, of course, this could all change again by the time this conversation is published. It's just after 12:30 in the afternoon on Monday, but by the time you hear this, the polls could have changed once again. But Halla Hrund is in top position as far as the polls are concerned. That wasn't the position at the start of this race. Could all change again, but she does seem to be, at least as we speak now, maintaining a lot of popularity.
Yeah, she's in the lead, which I think is quite interesting because she's like, people don't really know of her and don't know about her. She hasn't been political, so she's young, she's fresh, she's a new face. I think that's what like appeals to people. And I think I've been talking to a lot of people that say that we need another female president. We've had one, we need another one.
The first in the world ever,
the first in the world.
Elected
and
head of state.
And people have been like, like saying that Halla Hrund is kind of like this in a way, like young and fresh, and it's going to be a breeze into the presidential, going to be a breeze into Bashastad.
And there could be all sorts of reasons as to why she has risen in the way that she has. But as we said, just a couple of weeks ago, she was not in pole position.
Yeah.
Now she is. And some of those other figures that had been at the top of the polling odds, if you will, or chances, such as Baldur and Katrin, have dropped back a bit. Could all change
again.
Yes,
of course. Yeah, it could. I mean, it's anyone's game at this point. I mean, but I think we're looking at like a top four, maybe top three.
Yeah.
But only time will tell what people are going
to
do.
So. Yeah. And you compare this to the last presidential election when Guðni did face token opposition by someone who I think got 10 or 11% of the vote.
Yeah.
This one is wide open.
Yeah, it's wide open. It's anybody's game. And I mean, the difference between them in the polls, isn't that, I mean, isn't enough to say this is the clear winner.
No, they're all within the margin of error, aren't they? And it's surprising as well, even, that we're having a race, because when Guðni said at New Year that he wasn't going to seek a third term, people thought that he was going to. It was a surprise when he said he wasn't going
that
to.
That he was going to change his mind.
Yeah, and also that.
Yeah, but then, I mean, I think he spoke about this like, I don't know, a few weeks ago, that like 8 years, that should be enough. And that was actually one of the things they talked about on Friday. How long should a president be president? Should it be two terms, three terms, or four terms? And I think it was like maybe they should change how long a president could stay in office.
Term limits, which other countries do have, famously America, of course.
Yeah.
I thought that was a relatively recent addition to the constitution. So it can be done.
It can be done. But they had like difference in opinions. I mean, some said why change the president if the people are like happy with his work and what he's doing, or she.
Yeah.
And then people say, nay, no, but we need someone new to come into to Bashastad and to be a president.
So on RÚV over the course of the month, there are going to be interviews with the candidates, aren't there?
Yes.
And then a final debate on the eve of polling.
Yes, just the night before. And it's going to be interesting how the polls will change, because I think there hasn't been a poll that has come out that has been after the debate on Friday.
Yeah.
The polls that came out today that were like the gatherings of what people thought before the debate on Friday.
Yeah, so all eyes on the next piece of polling.
Yeah, just going to see. It's going to be interesting to see if it swayed anybody, just how people presented themselves.
Coverage right through the month here on RÚV. And maybe quite late into the night as well on that Saturday night into the Sunday morning with so many candidates.
Mm-hmm. Probably. It's going to be really exciting. I mean, because it really is like anyone's game at this point.
Yeah,
The people that are at the top. So Hallahrind isn't like a clear winner, although she's polling very high. So it's going to be interesting.
Talking of winners and losers, the Eurovision Song Contest, which might otherwise be dominating our attention, is this week, the two semi-finals on, Tuesday and Thursday, tomorrow and Thursday, and then the grand final. On Saturday, of course, we don't know if Iceland is going to be in the grand final on Saturday, but I think I'm right in saying that Hera Björk performs in the first.
She's tomorrow, on the Tuesday. She's going to be in the first. I mean, since she won and with all the controversy concerning the voting and everything, I think because we were really high in the polls when Bashar Murad...
Topping them. We were
number one. After she was a clear winner and just declared winner, we actually just fell in the polls. And I think now we're ranking like the last nation in the first semifinal, unfortunately.
So the bookmakers don't think that Iceland is going to proceed, which would be a terrible shame, of course. Mm. And the second year in a row that it would have happened.
Yeah, I know.
After Delia didn't make it through last year.
Of course.
Well, let's hope that for once the bookies are wrong.
Yes.
The money has gone in the wrong place.
Hera is a really good singer and she's really like confident and everything that like a good representative for our country should be.
But here's the thing as well about Hera Björk. She's been doing this a long time at Eurovision. She's loved within the Eurovision community. I did the English language commentary here at RÚV on Söngvakeppnin, which was the final two, although we didn't know it at the time. It was, in fact, selecting the person or the act that would go through and represent Iceland at Eurovision. That wasn't certain at the time, but of course it is now. And I got a message from someone I haven't spoken to for about 10 years back in the UK, who's a Eurovision fan, who messaged me to say how much he was rooting for Hera Björk.
Because
he'd followed her all the way through.
Yeah, there are darlings in like Eurovision in Iceland that people know. Like if Selma were to compete again, I mean, everybody around the world would be like, yeah, rooting for her. I mean, regardless of the song and whatever, because she is so beloved. She is so loved.
Yeah.
I'm among the community of Eurovision.
And I wonder if that maybe carries her through.
Yeah, I think that could be. I mean, with Hera, she could maybe get votes because she is Hera and people know of her. And she is a Eurovision-like... Yeah.
And she can sing, and it's a
decent
song.
And she can sing. I mean, and she's really confident. And I've seen she's a powerhouse to be reckoned with. I mean, she's really good.
Yeah.
So let's see.
We're carrying all of that here on RÚV. You can watch it tomorrow night, Thursday night, and on Saturday. And as I've said before, as is very much the case, even when Iceland does not qualify for the final, the whole country still goes nuts.
Yes.
And laps it all up and watches it.
Yeah. I mean, Eurovision has become a sort of national sport, really. So everybody has an opinion.
Yeah.
So I think everybody's going to be watching. Although, there are people that say they're not going to be watching because of the whole...
Quite. And I wanted to touch on that. It's important to reflect
that
if anything is going to diminish, or if there's going to be a year when interest in Eurovision is diminished within Iceland and other countries, it's this one.
Yeah.
For obvious
reasons. Because I think there are a lot of people that are hardcore Eurovision fans that were really not... happy about how the voting debacle went down and how everything was handled. And I think there are a lot of like musicians and singers. There's going to be a big concert tomorrow night at the same time at the first semifinal.
Yeah.
I don't know where, but it's going to be somewhere. And there's like big people that are saying just like boycott Eurovision. Mm. Like,
well, it wasn't so much, or at least it wasn't only the problems with the voting that I had in mind when I said that. It was, of course, the fact that Israel is participating and there is a big number of people who think that shouldn't be the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're letting Israel compete. And I don't know. I mean, it's a difficult subject to approach, to see. I mean, because people are comparing it to Russia a few years ago because of the invasion into Ukraine. The same thing should be done to Israel. They should be like fired and just like they should not be eligible to compete. But I understand like the conditions of the Ukrainian Russian thing. It's kind of like different from what's happening.
It's certainly possible to make a case to say that it is different, and people have tried to make that case.
Yeah.
And the other point worth making, it's a sort of obvious one, is that when you've got an issue such as this, which divides the country quite neatly, quite equally, whatever you do, whatever you do, huge numbers of people are going to think it's the wrong decision.
Yeah, of course. I mean, difference of opinion. I mean, people have different opinions about this. I mean, there are a lot of people that are really looking forward to tomorrow night, rooting for Hera and just like, yes, let's go Eurovision. And there are a lot of people that are just don't want to be just because of the participation of Israel.
Yeah. Well, as I say, this would be something that would be dominating the news agenda even more than it will this week, had it not been for the fact that we're trying to elect a head of state at the same time. All right. I want to turn to something, and you'll know this, whenever we publish a story containing pictures of cute animals, there's a lot of there's a lot of interest in that particular story.
Definitely.
This is the story of farmers who are sleeping in a caravan inside their sheepfold because they can't basically leave the lambs and the ewes that are giving birth to these lambs to go back and have a proper sleep in their house. Mm-hmm. And so they've decided just to camp with them instead.
Yes, just on duty 24/7, tending the sheep and the lambs, yeah.
Because it was the first day of May, May Day, obviously last week, a holiday for most people, but not for farmers. My brother-in-law's a farmer.
Yeah.
And, you know, he says that the animals don't care if it's Christmas Day.
Yeah, I know. They need to have all hands on deck to help with the little lambs coming into this world. So, yeah, it's a kind of cute story. So
this is the farm Muthrevetler.
Yeah.
And lambing started there in the middle of April. It's now at its peak. And the sheep farmer, Birgitta Ludvigsdottir, says she's on duty from 7 o'clock, from dinner time until 7 o'clock the next morning, all of the time. And then her husband comes to help her. But she loves it. She's got, you know, I was going to say peace and quiet, maybe not quiet, but there is, you know, if that's the kind of thing that you enjoy doing,
yes,
if you like those parts of being a farmer, then it's going to be great, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I have a friend and her grandparents have a farm. Mm-hmm. And every year she goes for 2 weeks with her children and they participate when the lambs are coming into this world. So they actually have like shifts. And just like delegate within themselves, like who has the 7-to-2 shift, and then So I mean, it's a lot of work. I mean, farmers. I mean, they rarely go on holiday. I mean, who would tend the farm? So this is a really good, like, I think this is a really good story, and I think it's really like resourceful of them.
I hope the lambs appreciate it.
Yes.
I hope the ewes appreciate it as well.
Of course,
Here comes a video game which is from Iceland that's going to be released worldwide next year. And I think you spoke, didn't you?
Yes.
To the producer of this game.
Talk to the founder.
The game is called Island of Winds, Eyja Vindanna.
Yes.
And it really leans into Icelandic folklore and traditional stories, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It was really interesting. I went to meet up with her and they said they were so happy about they're getting publication next year, like worldwide, and the game is going to come out in Icelandic and it's going to be translated into English and then 7 other languages. So it's going to be like worldwide. And they were really thankful because they're like a small company and been trying to make it since I think they were founded in 2017 or something. And she said like it was really a make or break of the company to get this contract or else they wouldn't survive.
I mean, it feels as if there is going to be a massive audience for anyone who's any kind of, any gamer who's any sort of fan of Games of Thrones, for example.
Yes, of course. I mean,
is going to love this.
Yeah, also like because you showed me the game, like the, like just the intro and everything, and it's kind of a, like old folklore, and they speak in Icelandic, like in the old, not the really old Norse, but it, like kind of felt like kind of like old and mythological and like the, I don't know, everything you would think of like for the Game of Thrones, for all the Norse sagas and everything. And then they have like all these fantastical like creatures from Icelandic folklore that the main heroine, she meets on her travels, like on her way.
She's Brynhildr the Witch.
Yeah, Brynhildr the Witch. And I mean, it was really interesting because I spoke to her and said, okay, do gamers really...
You spoke to Brynhildr?
Sorry, I spoke of her to Maria, the founder of the Parity Games, the company.
Yes.
And I said, Brynhildr, like, she's a middle-aged, she's a witch. Why do gamers literally, do they do they think they have anything in common with a woman like a heroine? And she said it was really intently done with purpose, because like 50% of the company, Parody Games, is women. And they try to, the main focus is like on the what women contribute to the gaming world. So it was never a question of the main character being a woman. And then she said, like, women typecasted either the bimbo or the old woman. There's never, like, anything in between.
Yes.
So she is, like, middle-aged, really wise, really good and cunning and everything. So, yeah, it was really interesting. And it's going to be interesting to see when it comes out next year.
I think so. I'm not a gamer. My partner is. He'll, he'll love this. He'll be right into this. It's going to be on PC and on consoles as well.
Yeah.
But it's interesting and important too that the language is being properly respected here. Because I remember a few years ago I was watching a not very good horror film called Wrong Turn, which was on Netflix. And there's a scene, well, I won't give too much away, but basically there is a group of people who live in the mountains. They're the baddies. They're the ones who trap the, you know, all-American students who go for a walk into the woods where they shouldn't go and all the rest of it. Kind of semi-monsters, really, that live under the ground. And they spoke in this weird language. It wasn't Icelandic, but I was listening to it. I thought, it sounds a bit like Icelandic. What's going on there? Why are they speaking in this sort of guttural sort of Norse way? And so I watched the extra features that came with the film. And the director of the film said, oh, yeah, we wanted to kind of create a language that these subhuman monsters would use. And we found this little group of islands called the Faroes that no one knows about.
So it was...
They're speaking Faroese.
Faroese, really?
I thought, hang on a minute, they've got Netflix in Torsup. You know,
yes.
Someone's going to see this and think, why are these monsters speaking Faroese?
It's going to be interesting because like all the... like mythology around it and how they're speaking and everything in Icelandic, how they're going to turn it around into other languages and make it still like the same feel and everything.
Yeah, so. Because so much of this, I guess, and so many of the stories, the video game we're talking about again now, the language is what carries so much of this. And some of it won't be translatable directly, will it, I suppose?
No, I don't think so. It won't translate. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how gamers will perceive this game and how it will be received in the gaming world. So,
looking ahead to the rest of the year, once we get past the 1st of June, which is when the presidential election takes place, the new government, let's look at the parliament now, the government seems to be reasonably stable. There is no sense that we're heading into an autumn parliamentary election.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we're going to get through the summer
without any big stories? Yeah, I really hope so. I mean, they seem to be really united and like they're going to be until next semester. I mean, they're going to stand strong and they're going to do their thing and they're just going to, like Bjarni Ben, now our prime minister, said, I mean, there's going to be another filling her shoes, like Katrin Jakobsdóttir, because she left because of she's going to be into the run of the, going to be in the running of the president. So
So we're not going to have this sort of nightmare scenario of the two elections rubbing up against each other.
I mean, hopefully not. I mean, I talked to a professor, like a political professor at the Háskóli Íslands, the University of Iceland, and he said, like, the biggest opportunity, if somebody's going to be blowing up the government, it's going to be Vinstri Grænir.
Yes, the left green.
The left green.
This is the party of Katrin, who have now, on the most recent polling, wouldn't get into Althingi in the next election because they've dropped below 5%.
Yeah.
Which I guess means that the popularity they had derived from Katrin, to an extent.
I mean, one might argue that. I don't know. You probably, I mean, because she was the head and she's been like linked to Vinstri Grænir, the left green, for such a long time.
Yeah,
I mean, she's been so ingrained into that party for like 20 years, 25 years.
And so if something, as you say, does blow up the government, it's likely to be them on the basis that they've got nothing to lose.
Yeah, his estimate was that if something were to happen, it's going to be the left green. that's going to blow up the government.
Okay. Well, I know a lot of people here will be planning to have their phones on airplane mode over the course of the summer and will not want to be
dragged
back to Reykjavik for a parliamentary election.
Yeah.
So let's not jinx it.
No.
Okay. Adla, thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
Great to talk to you once again today. It's Ruv English and I'm Darren Adam, and you can get in touch with us anytime. English@ruv.is.
There is more from Ruv English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Ruv English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Ruv.